Good morning. Welcome to Bethany Lutheran here in Warren, Oregon, on this first Sunday after Easter. Today, the text I'm preaching on is from the book of Acts, chapter 5, verses 29 through 42. But Peter and the apostles answered, "We must obey God rather than any human authority. The God of our ancestors raised up Jesus, whom you had killed by hanging him on a tree. God exalted him at his right hand as leader and savior, that he might give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are witnesses to these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him." When they heard this, they were enraged and wanted to kill them. But a Pharisee in the council named Gamaliel, a teacher of the law, respected by all the people, stood up and ordered the men to be put outside for a short time. Then he said to them, "Fellow Israelites, consider carefully what you propose to do to these men. For some time ago, Theudas rose up, claiming to be somebody, and a number of men, about 400, joined him. But he was killed, and all who followed him were dispersed and disappeared. After him, Judas the Galilean rose up at the time of the census and got people to follow him. He also perished, and all who followed him were scattered. So in the present case, I tell you, keep away from these men and let them alone. Because if this plan or this undertaking is of human origin, it will fail. But if it is of God, you will not be able to overthrow them. In that case, you may even be found fighting against God." They were convinced by him, and when they had called in the apostles, they had them flogged. Then they ordered them not to speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. As they left the council, they rejoiced that they were considered worthy to suffer dishonor for the sake of the name. And every day in the temple and at home, they did not cease to teach and proclaim Jesus as the Messiah. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you, O God, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. According to an old adage, it takes a thief to catch a thief. But sometimes it also takes a thief to be able to identify those who are not thieves. Such was the case some years ago when the convicted Watergate co-conspirator Charles Colson wrote that it was precisely his experience as a man involved in a fraud and a cover-up that convinced him of the truth of the New Testament, and particularly its witness to the resurrection. Colson was part of the Nixon administration and learned one of the most painful lessons in politics the hard way. That is, that crimes and mistakes in government are bad enough, but 99 times out of 100, the attempt to cover it up creates far more problems. But what was particularly interesting to Colson was another thing he learned along the path that eventually landed him in prison. People involved in a lie, in a fraud, in a cover-up will only suffer so much before they crack and tell the truth. Very few people are willing to suffer for very long in defense of a lie. Very few people can stand to see their family members suffer in defense of a lie. And very, very few people are willing to die for what they know is a lie. This is what we find in our Acts chapter 5 text for today. It's been only a few months since Jesus was crucified and then came back to life. Since Pentecost, when Jesus sent the Holy Spirit to embolden the disciples, they have been preaching and witnessing nonstop. Now, the Pharisees expected all this Jesus nonsense to stop when he died. No such luck. The movement was stronger and more vocal than before. Day after day, these disciples of Jesus preached right in the temple courts. The Pharisees upped the pressure on these evangelists and upped the consequences. They put Peter and John in jail overnight. But the next morning, the number of believers had grown by about another 1,000 people. When Peter and John were questioned the next morning, Peter witnessed to the Pharisees. The disciples were warned again to discontinue this evangelism campaign or face dire consequences. Peter and John responded by preaching all that much more. Again, they are arrested and thrown in jail. During the night, an angel led them in a jailbreak. First thing that next day, the disciples are back to preaching and teaching in the temple courts. The Pharisees call Peter and John back in for more questioning. The atmosphere is charged with tension. Peter offers them the famous line, "We must obey God rather than men." The Sanhedrin, made up of about 70 priests and scholars, is furious and wants them put to death. This phenomenon, this Jesus nonsense, must stop. But then Gamaliel addresses this Jewish ruling body, and people listen when Gamaliel speaks. He was one of the most respected men among the Jewish learned men. There were two schools of thought among the Jews. One was that of Shammai. It was strict and narrow. The other was of Hillel, and it was liberal and free. Well, Gamaliel is the grandson of Hillel. He taught that persons engaged in works of mercy, duty, or necessity should be exempt from the more stringent sabbatical traditions, which was how Jesus lived. Gamaliel taught his disciples to show respect and kindness to all people, even pagans. He was one of the very few who had the supreme title of Rabban bestowed on him. Gamaliel warns the Pharisees to proceed with caution. He reminds them that there have been many who claim to be the Messiah. Some, like Theudas, managed to gather some followers. But when he was killed, all his followers were dispersed. And that was the end of that. A few years before the birth of Jesus, there was Judas of Gamala. He was more of a rebel and led a revolt. Well, he too was killed, and all his followers were scattered. So, says Gamaliel, leave these men alone. Let them go. For if their purpose or activity is of human origin, it will fail. But if it is of God, you will not be able to stop these men. You will only find yourselves fighting against God. Verse 40 tells us that his speech persuaded the Sanhedrin to let the apostles go. But first, they had them whipped and once again ordered them not to speak in the name of Jesus. After they left the council, they rejoiced that they were considered worthy to suffer dishonor for the sake of the name. These believers were made to kneel with their backs exposed. And then they received 39 lashes with a leather whip. It would wrap around their back, hit their chest, and finish on the back a second time. And they rejoiced over this privilege. Our text ends with verse 42. And every day in the temple and at home, they did not cease to teach and proclaim Jesus as the Messiah. I won't speak for you, but I do not see myself possessing that kind of dedication to mission. When it comes to representing Jesus, we should expect consistent opposition. Chapter 5 tells us that some will be filled with jealousy. Some will lie because they're filled with Satan. We need to be filled with the Spirit of God because whatever fills us influences us. The Holy Spirit will enable us to do the work that pleases God. And we should expect persecution. Remember, though, that God is present in the midst of suffering. You may remember in 2021, over 100 Nigerian schoolgirls were abducted by an Islamic extremist group. All but Laya were released a few days later. Laya was held back because she refused to denounce Christ. She was a mere schoolgirl, but she faced the consistent opposition and remained committed to the Lord. When it comes to representing Jesus, we need to display exceptional obedience in spite of opposition. We saw the disciples' immediate obedience, but later, when in the face of threat, they remained obedient. In chapter 4, they stated, "Whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you rather than to God, you must judge. For we cannot help but speak of what we have seen and heard." They felt compelled to speak. As we see, there was no cost too great to keep the apostles from completing what Jesus told them to do. Coming out of prison, the apostles went right back to the mission of witnessing to Jesus' resurrection. Exceptional obedience pushes past all barriers. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 14. "For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again." There's a sin that nobody talks about. The sin of silence. Talking to others about Jesus is a matter of obedience. Not talking to others about Jesus is actually not being obedient to his command. When it comes to representing Jesus, we need to move forward unstoppable. Looking again at verses 38 and 39. "So in the present case, I tell you, keep away from these men and let them alone. Because if their plan or undertaking is of human origin, it will fail. But if it is of God, you will not be able to overthrow them. In that case, you may even be found fighting against God." This has to be one of the most confidence-producing, mission-motivating statements in the Bible. Our God is unstoppable. That makes us unstoppable in him. If we are not motivated to move his mission forward, it is not just a matter of being afraid or lacking confidence in our own ability. It means we've made a conscious decision to not respond to his marching orders. Matthew 16, verse 18. "On this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it." We must be moving the mission forward. Yet remember, we are not leading the charge. We do not go it alone. We follow Christ who died for this cause. Christ whom no one can stop. Christ who is victorious in life and death. 2 Corinthians 2, verses 14 through 17. "But thanks be to God, who always leads us as captives in Christ's triumphal procession, and uses us to spread the aroma of the knowledge of him everywhere. For we are to God the pleasing aroma of Christ among those who are being saved and those who are perishing. To the one we bring an aroma that brings death, to the other an aroma that brings life. And who is equal to such a task? Unlike those many, we do not peddle the word of God for profit. On the contrary, In Christ, we speak before God with sincerity, as those sent from God. Jesus is alive, and we have every reason to be confident in him. So decide today to display exceptional obedience as you live for an unstoppable God.